Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Hello, everyone.
And on today's show, we're going to be discussing faction rallies. We're going to be discussing some stuff we'd like to see improved. But first, we're going to hear from Naomi with a word from our sponsors. Take it away, Naomi.
Hey guys, Star Trek is returning 50 years after it first premiered with Star Trek Discovery. IGN has teamed up with CBS All Access to give away 10 $25 CBS All Access gift cards, where you can watch the premiere for Star Trek Discovery on September 24th at 8:30, 7:30 Central. Just go to go.ign.com/fireteamgiveaway to enter. Thanks guys, back to you.
The big Destiny 2 news this week is all about faction rallies. They are beginning in Destiny 2 on September 26th at 2 a.m. and will allow you to pledge to one faction per character once you hit level 20. Once pledged, you can do public events, lost sectors, strikes, the raid, or the crucible to earn tokens for loot. So why would you do this? Well, at the end of the week, only one faction can be declared victorious and will offer a unique, powerful weapon. Those weapons are promised to be a powerful piece of gear in an effort to entice players to choose a side, according to senior designer Tim Williams. The event will last until 2 a.m. Pacific on October 3rd, and the winner will be determined at 10 a.m. Pacific, aka the time my faction, Dead Orbit, will be crowned victorious. Now, if the weapon is at a faction you didn't choose, you can still get it for 50,000 glimmer, but if your faction wins, you can purchase it for only 1,000 glimmer. That's a hefty discount. We'll know more in just a few days when we can play for ourselves. So, guys, which faction are you going to pledge to?
Dead Orbit. I mean, of course. There's no other option.
There is another
option. No, there's not.
In fact, there are two other options.
Not really.
Dead Orbit, New Monarchy.
Technicality.
And that other one. Future
exactly.
War Call.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I generally, all of Destiny 1 went New Monarchy, but I think I have to suck it up and go Dead Orbit this time. Yeah. All of my gear right now is like black and white, so I got to keep with the color scheme.
But you can buy that from anyone. So the way I'm looking at it is I am loyal to Raksha Lau and Dead Orbit, and Deej would be upset as well if I didn't say that. However, Holst Rifleman is coming from Future War Cult this week, so for the discount, I might go FWC, and then you know, I'll buy my other stuff from the other folks. But also,
traitor.
Raksha Lau is going to be mad at me and Deej.
You could run two characters. You can run your traitor character and then the real one.
Right. But I don't know. Were we going to talk about the specific weapons at all, Destiny?
Yeah, so there are three different weapon types, and do you know them off the top of your head?
Yeah, it was the Future War Cult has the Pulse Rifle, Scout Rifles with Dead Orbit, and then it's a sidearm with Executor Hideo. And,
So to me, the Scout is what everybody's going to want. They want a replacement for Mida.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why would you replace it?
Because then you can
just
have
in
an
case.
You can have an exotic in a different slot.
Yeah.
That assumes that it's like provides all that Mida does, which I think like third eye, mobility, I don't know. But
a unique, powerful weapon.
But what I'm hoping is that when we log in, before you choose, you can look at the weapon perks. I think that will make it sort of obvious that you can choose. But otherwise save up 199,999 glimmer. You'll be pretty close to being able to buy everything.
Yeah. What are the chances of this scout rifle from Dead Orbit being hung jury 2.0?
That's a good point.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
It doesn't look like it.
For all you new Guardians out there, hung jury for a long time was the best scout rifle in the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were the initial perks? Like Firefly and something else, but it was good.
It had triple tap.
Oh, yeah.
Firefly.
Yeah.
Great stability range.
Such a good PvE scout.
And field scout.
It doesn't look like it at all, so I wouldn't – it's hard to speculate.
And we have Mida.
Just in general, I have to say all the different gear sets look really good across the board.
They do. Time.
Yeah.
Before it was like, oh, do you want the red, white, and blue and yellow future war call?
Not the
Do you want the red and white new monarchy?
But Dead Orbit looks
the black and white.
Yeah, but Dead Orbit for that reason, it's the coolest looking one of all time. Mm-hmm. So even the other ones, it's neat aesthetically, but I don't know, it looks too regal. New monarchy.
I was a big fan of the Future War Cult like scrolling marquee across like the helm.
There's a few neat traits. It's like, but no, it's too flashy.
Like you're out of Tron. Yeah. It's super cool.
Everything's much more subtle. I like it a lot more for that.
It's weird though with the shaders. You know, I assume you can just shade everything out. So it's almost like it's more about the insignias and little touches like you're mentioning, then you might want to shade it out in a whatever Future War called or Dead Orbit.
That's too bright for you, Fran. Yeah. I figured you'd be all over that.
Like, in other words,
you're like the power casual guy. And
this is my point. You can still be like, dude, Future War Called has like the most streamlined like tower casuals. So I'm going to go with them. And I don't like the color. So I'm just going to put monochrome on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because the looks are cool. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, now when you can customize, it might be a little easier.
I like that.
Yeah.
By the way, we never really got to like go back on Shadergate. Is it a thing?
I didn't think it was that big.
Me either.
Yeah.
I never really understood it, and I said, I'll wait. And then
people were climbing, right? And they wanted to make their stuff look good. But I'm like, you're going to have that for like an hour.
Exactly. Yeah. You were shading a blue, and then it was like gone.
I do think that there was some validity in being concerned about how those shaders might work as consumables when previously they weren't. But I think where we all landed was it depends on how many consumables you end up getting. And right now it seems like I don't really have like a shortage of the ones.
Yeah, I have enough for like a raid set of shaders.
Well, one trials run last week gave me a bunch of shaders for all the gear I needed between like – there's two different versions of the shaders, the trial shader. There's the flawless one and then there's the regular one. Mm-hmm. Both of them look good. I did all my weapons and all of my gear and I'm like – and I have a couple
extras. That's just one run.
And I just did one run,
I think it's nicely balanced so far that I've seen between wanting to conquest to get something maybe you got before, that it's not like you have 99 of them, because I think that breaks the inventory. Eventually that will
happen.
That's
the glimmer problem.
Right now, meaning there are a few where I'm like, ooh, I could use a few more golden trace because I like that. But
still the same stuff I mentioned before. It doesn't tell you how to get the ones that you want.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's random.
It's not labeled clearly.
Like,
able to buy them is weird.
Once you discover them, you should be able to continuously buy them from at least some vendor. Like, I got a couple monochromatic ones from completing the raid. Used them immediately. Haven't been able to get any since. Like, just kind of waiting for more to pop up when I get a bright engram drop or something.
Or if you break them down, they go back into your consumable inventories.
That would be nice.
Yeah. You will be able to buy your – I was double-checking – the faction shaders at least.
Yeah.
For like regular currency, not like silver. I mean, technically, bright engrams, you can buy shaders every week. You get bright engrams.
You can
get
buy
bright
those
dust.
With regular currency too.
Yeah. I've not spent
U.S. dollars.
No,
I've not spent a dime.
I'm saying you
either.
Can
I
buy
spent anything. Either.
You can buy stuff from
using
Tess,
bright.
Using bright. There's enough to buy like a shader here.
But I like being able to customize your individual pieces of armor. To me, it's like that was the trade-off. So I get that people were upset that it's not like D1, but that was the issue. To me, it's like, oh, it's just because it was like this before in
D1. I like it. And actually, the execution, the art is really
great.
Good. Some of these shaders and the new
really good.
The new graphic effects they've added, rendering engine stuff, like some of the stuff looks like awesome. I'm really happy with it.
It's great.
I've been a little fatigued by the regular outrage about things.
Like, there's a new outrage daily.
Okay, I understand why you're a little bit concerned about this, but I'm like, you think you might be making it a little bit bigger deal?
There was a very highly upvoted thread from a new Guardian in the subreddit that was like, love how overnight it turned from really a lot of positivity to a bunch of negativity.
Yeah. Bungie's not your snack dad that a bunch of Bungie employees got shirts that said snack dad on them?
Really?
It was amazing. It was very, very good.
People are just overly excited. We had that before launch, if you remember. We reported on some stuff, and everybody flipped out.
Yep. I get it. Like, when you're really invested in a game, you really like it, you want it to be as good as you can be. So little things kind of irk you. Little things irk me.
But yeah, that was the best.
We're actually going to talk about
improvement. You guys don't understand. In World of Warcraft.
There it is.
Yes. Go, baby.
3 minutes in.
Let's actually talk about some of the other items that we would like to see improved while we're on the topic of shaders. Sean, you brought up wanting to discuss PvP, so we'll start there.
Yeah. I've been spending a lot of time in competitive, just prepping for trials and stuff, but I'm primarily a solo queuer. Mm-hmm. And man, the solo queue experience in competitive, it can be really rough.
Your teammates different. Bail.
Yeah. So numerous times, like I played maybe 12 or 15 matches of competitive last night, and I would say maybe 60% of them, like over half of them, ended up with either my team down players or the other team down players.
Yep. Really?
Yeah, and it's
literally for the review, I'm like, oh, I need capture, my team leaving. I hopped in competitive the first match, half my team.
Yeah, like literally what happens is like you jump in and it's 4v4 and instantly your team loses the first round, or like you lose even just four lives or so if it's survival or whatever.
And it's because they're like not looking for supremacy or they don't want survival.
Well, no. I'm talking about countdown, because in competitive it's only countdown and survival. Yeah. But either one of those modes, there's like people seemingly
just
give
get
up
demoralized.
Yeah. Well, like, why are they leaving? They're leaving after playing.
Well, they've declared
they lose a round.
Yeah, they lose a round, or your team loses four lives, and it's obvious the other team is going to win that round.
And it doesn't auto-populate anybody back into the game.
Instead of trying to win or communicate with your team to better fight the next round, they just say, well, it's a lost cause, I'm going to bail on this. Yeah. And the problem is there's no repercussion for that. Mm-hmm. So I think, like in Halo 5, if you leave the match early, like, and I'm not talking about like an involuntary disconnect because of network issues or something. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about like you purposely click out of the match. If you do that a number of times within, I don't know, let's call it an hour or 2 hours, whatever Bungie deems fair, there should be some sort of competitive temporary ban.
Like a timeout.
Yeah.
Now, they did this before, you said. They did it with Reach?
Reach did it.
Well, Halo 5, too, is like if you bail on too many matches, one, you don't get any experience or rewards from those matches.
Yeah.
Two, if you do it too many times, you actually get like a day-long ban.
I think you'd have to set that so high, though, that it wasn't annoying, that actually it still wouldn't solve the problem. Like, you'd have people who were just hopping in to play four or five matches, and they'd still do it. And what I was getting at, I think it's a mode problem. I think you just run into, like, where people – and also skill-based matchmaking and all that. But I think you need a mode matched the right way going back to – I mean, we had it in Destiny 1 to some extent. Like, we didn't have as much of this issue. Blending the modes into these two things, I think, is causing this issue.
But you didn't have the issue because there was no other game where that was competitive that didn't allow, like, people to auto-populate the game after.
So
like,
that's the thing, is you're in – people will bail in the first round or in the first couple of lives in survival. And then you're literally stuck there the whole rest of the match, 4v2 or, you know.
And you should bail, man.
I don't bail. Sean Finnegan does not bail.
I don't bail.
Yeah.
Was the match that I played, like I actually played it through to completion, and the other team was like, you know, doing a bunch of emotes and stuff to be positive, actually.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, thanks for staying, even though we know half
that's
the team bailed.
Well, so that was the other thing. I stayed in a match 1v4.
Yeah.
And I was like, there was only one player on that other team who was good, but like they were all messaging me on Xbox being like, why don't you leave, man? It's a waste of your time. And I was no, man.
And that's it. It does suck because it does become a waste of your time because you're probably not going to win a 1v4, especially in Destiny 2. I will say that the competitive and survival countdown within the context of being not trialsified, like just right now, should be like just auto populate if people drop out. Like, I don't understand why it's not.
Like with strikes, people will come in. You know, that's kind of nice. But, like, I've been bailed on in strikes also. You know, it's a plus and a minus, right? The ease of jumping around is great.
Yeah.
But it also reduces the amount of barriers for you just leaving your team.
Well, also, like, in strikes, it's nice that it auto-populates. But, two, if it doesn't auto-populate, you can still finish a strike by yourself. Yeah. Like, it's not difficult. Well, in PvP, like, you're almost certainly going to lose if it's 4v1 or 4v2.
Yeah.
It's an unpleasant time. Like, you're supposed to be having a competitive match. You can't be competitive if you're down. Yeah.
It does auto-populate, though. It just takes a while.
No. The competitive doesn't.
Oh, competitive does.
Yeah, the competitive playlist doesn't.
Well, I've had backfills. I didn't realize it wasn't happening at all in competitive.
It's like when you lose somebody in trials, you're done.
Are you sure countdown?
They can't.
You're 100% sure countdown can't backfill.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's silly. I don't know why it wouldn't. That's so weird because I thought I saw that it happened there. But
I don't know.
Why don't you do that? But you know what they should do is that if you back out, you should be put into an immediate chance to like auto populate another PvP match.
The same game.
It creates a trap door chance that if you try to back out, it pops you in another match.
What I'm saying is, like, if crashes or you get kicked out, you actually have a chance to get back into the same match.
Yeah, actually, in a lot of games do that. It's like there's a window of like 120 seconds or 180 seconds, where 3 minutes, 2 minutes to get back into the match you were disconnected from, if it was involuntary. But that's not what I'm talking about. I understand there are network issues and stuff. I'm talking about if you voluntarily quit or throw the match. That was the other thing. There were some matches where we were very obviously going to lose because the other team was outplaying us. But instead of leaving, people just go jump off the edge and waste the lives so that no one else can play on your team. And that's even more frustrating. Yeah. So people who are doing that, or people who are voluntarily leaving matches early, I think there should be some sort of penalty. Now, I don't know what that penalty is. Mm-hmm. But in Halo, it is if you leave X amount of matches within a certain period of time, you get a little timeout.
Yeah. Bungie would say that you should report them. Make sure that you report
players. Right. So that's the thing is, like, in the first – guess what? In the first Destiny, you could immediately go to the scoreboard and click an in-game reporting function for whatever it was, bad connection,
now
issues.
You got to go over the roster.
There's no actual way to do it if they've left the game. Because immediately after they leave the game, you can't find those person's names again.
Right.
Because the scoreboards have been so minimalistic and there's no stats or
Actually, that would help a ton. That would actually be –
you
like
can still
that,
report them over Xbox Live if you had their username.
No, no one's going to do that. You're in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
I like that idea, though, that if there was a remnant left behind of, like, lost players, you had that quick chance to report them.
Yeah.
But, and, like, even if you're just reporting they left – that would give Bungie the currency to be like, this person's leaving all the time.
Yeah. Or like in Halo, when you go to the post-game Carnage report,
everybody.
You could select the people that were in the game.
Yeah, even if the people left, it'll still show their name on the scoreboard along with their stats, but it'll just be grayed out.
Let's talk about another major topic this week before we go on to two modes that I'd like to see improved. Definitely, let's talk about Nightfall. So the Nightfall this week, the 300 is bugged. Apparently there's an enemy that spawns in the wall. They're not going to be able to patch it for reset. It's also not that fun.
Really?
This
I never really liked
that. I mean, sorry, this week.
This particular strike.
Yeah. But are you talking because the boss is really difficult?
The boss is annoying.
It's a little annoying.
It is.
I don't – out of all the strikes, this one was one that I particularly don't like.
I really don't – I did not like this one.
I liked the strike right up until the boss.
At the end. Right. Yeah. I didn't like the boss. Yeah. But I think it's
– the boss.
I think it's very related to the – the modifiers, like your shield regen is totally a disaster.
Yeah.
And then you don't get any heavy ammo respawn at all from anything. And so it becomes very unfun to play it that way.
However, I wouldn't say it's like unbeatable. Like I went in there last night.
I did.
And I just cruised through it with two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing with Alexio and Zach. They're new into Destiny 2. They're fairly new into just the universe itself. So just, getting heavy, when to pop super to generate orbs, all those things play into a huge deal. They weren't able to really get that, hey, wait till, if you're dead, I can't get your orbs. Or if I'm dead, you can't get my orbs and vice versa. So, we made it right up until the final boss and I just couldn't finish them off. So, still fun though, right? Like the mechanics I like,
The final boss?
No, the mechanics of leading up to it. Like
up to it's fun.
Yeah, like killing things to get like, a certain amount more time added, collecting the light pools and stuff like that. Like I like these better than, hey, guess what? You lost in a Nightfall, back to orbit.
Yeah.
Like and stuff that Destiny did in year one.
Yeah, I'm fine with the Nightfall mechanics. It's this week.
Right.
And then the modifiers. I really think it's the modifiers. I think if you had heavy at that last boss and your shield regen so you didn't keep dying all the time, you'd be fine.
There's
like,
a lot
you'd
of
wait for him to reappear and you'd all attack. But you can't because you have no shields and you have no heavy.
But
I don't even know what to do.
But it's a challenge though. Like I like it. Like it's not unbeatable and it's not,
definitely not unbeatable.
The challenge is for it to be fun.
Well,
that's the challenge of the last one.
Okay, all right.
I had fun in the encounter up until the end there and it's just like you can't see him because they made invisible enemies actually more difficult to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, he's just punching you in the back of the head. And
that's exactly it. It's like so many times they're like, the boss is attacking you. And I'm like, oh, what? Like,
you got to put on that warlock.
It's
eye of another world, by the way.
I'm going to predict the comments.
High value targets. It helps see him, by the way.
The comment sections right now are going to be like, get good, Fireteam chat.
I did it.
I know. But I think it's one of those things where, to me, it's nice. Like Tanix and that whole Black Spindle mission, to me, that's what we're playing off of each time. And I like this. I like that each week there's been something a little bit different. So from that standpoint, it's been
good. I like the additional challenges. I actually really love the new Nightfalls.
Yeah.
Beyond how I feel about this particular strike, not one of my favorites, I still like that they're challenging.
I do too. And what I particularly like is that they're challenging, and the challenge justifies the reward. Like, I don't – I am one of these people who call me an elitist, but I don't think that if you can't do the Nightfall, that you deserve the gear that the Nightfall rewards you. Just like how if you can't go flawless, you don't deserve to get flawless gear. Yeah. It's not about locking people out. It's about – learning to play better.
Unless it's in your clan, Engram, and you just go and pick it up.
Yeah. Which again,
by the way, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Not a mechanic that I really like. Like yesterday I walked in and they were like, you have new clan rewards. Go see
Hoffman. Because I did the raid.
Was that you?
Yeah.
I walked up. Thank you. I got the new rocket launcher. So
there you go.
I keep getting conspirator every week.
Dude, so I got the sword. I got four weapons from the raid.
Yeah.
They're all that pulse rifle, inaugural address. Yeah. I'm just like, whatever. But yeah, I don't know if I'm on board with that mechanic yet.
They drop at level 10, so I'm
not. Yeah, but it's the weapon.
I have plenty to.
Still the weapon.
Yeah. I actually agree. Like, maybe it's a topic for another time. I get why they're trying to really incentivize you to get into clans so we can solve this guided game problems. So I appreciate that. I actually don't like that I got the sword. Like, it's great to have it. Mm-hmm. I didn't earn it.
Yeah.
I didn't earn it at all. And like, you I'm like, oh, I'll just make it 305 and like, it's brilliant. But I didn't, it actually does take away that moment. Like, I have less to earn.
I have to remember we have a huge clan.
Yeah. With,
that actually, like, this is really interesting. Like, if Sean completes raid on Xbox, I get credit on PlayStation for the raid completion because we're all in the same clan. Mm-hmm.
I think the new players are not upset, though. Like, we are all very much veterans going, hey, I want that moment of the drop. Yeah. It's neat.
But I don't want
it
to take forever.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. I want the best of both worlds. I get it. It does take away some of the magic.
New people, I think that, yeah, but I've said this to other people who are just getting into it. The fact that you're not in the post screen and you see it roll down like a slot machine, there's a bunch of things that take away that magic drop moment.
Everyone's saying Cold Heart is the best raid weapon, by the way. Solid. I'm like, I'm going to go with my raid loadout and we'll see who does more DPS. Top DPS on the team still. So Cold Heart is not
the last boss.
Cold Heart is not the only loadout you can go in with.
I'm not saying it's the only one.
It's brilliant.
But I use Cold Heart on the final boss and it is.
Oh, it's awesome.
I'm not saying it's bad at all. I'm just saying I use dual ARs and I consistently do ARs. More DPS
really?
Than
ARs.
Anybody with Cold Heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Two ARs with Warbreak.
Sniper? Wait, what?
Yeah, and then my heavy is a sniper.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
and I
why.
Use double pulse. Mm-hmm.
The war rig makes that really
right.
Yeah,
but Cold Heart is also an
because
AR.
It's about because again, burst damage means nothing in raid encounters because the encounter lasts 15 minutes. But Actium War Rig, this is the exotic chess piece that automatically loads bullets into your magazine with auto rifles.
So if you have a 36 round clip, for example, you end up firing probably 70 or more rounds before you actually have to reload. And by that point, I'm jumping. So I jump in the air and I'm ready to go again.
Yeah, it's basically a monster sustained dips.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really
good. And that's why I
auto reload. That's why
I am. But I haven't tried it with Cold Heart. Maybe I could get better DPS.
It's not an auto rifle. So
it is actually.
It is an auto.
It falls in that category.
But you know,
it's not really. But
what I meant was, so Actium War Rig actually affects it?
I believe it would.
Whoa.
I haven't tried it yet.
Because, I mean, it is a trace rifle. I get that, like, when you infuse it, it's considered an auto rifle. But. Yeah.
I'll have to try it out. Anyway, some other topics we want to talk about. Before we go there, we'll wrap on Nightfall. I don't like this particular strike. I love the new modifiers. I like that when I did hard mode with the rings, I had to actually plan out when we trigger the rings so that we could all get it to get that five-minute thing to get the Rat King. I love the new strike system, and I hope they don't change it because 1 week was bad.
Do you like Prism?
It's not even that bad.
Prism's fine. Really and when they added that it stays on the screen.
Oh, it does?
They added that.
Okay, yeah. that's what I didn't like. I heard that it was being added. That's all I want from Prism.
Yeah.
Is tell me what it is. I'm like, did you guys see it? No, I didn't see it. Like, what?
It stays there now.
That's
it
not
stays
fun.
There now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that was
really and these are just the first three. I mean, who knows what else might come of the next few strikes on Nightfall.
I like it a lot.
Yep.
I want to talk about Lost Sectors and Adventures. I've brought this up a few times on the show. Lost Sectors, you need to give me something for doing all of them on a planet. I love looking for all the little logos.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're on your map, but it's great to find the logo and then go to that area.
It's good you can't mark them. They're a little bit more of a hidden gem in a way. Like, lightly.
Those are really fun, but you get like a token sometimes, maybe some blues, but you don't really get a high level reward.
You want it for just completing everything once or like in weekly resets or something?
So like every week, let's say you go through and you get a random legendary drop.
For doing all of them on one planet.
Like, yeah. Same thing with adventures. It's just like it's a great story beat to be able to play that. The reward is the story, but the only item rewards you get are the token and some blues, I would just like, again, just like give me a random legendary. Give me some sort of incentivization to complete all those things every week.
Yeah, once you're 305, what is the reason to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, all your stuff.
Narrative. But narrative, but yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree.
Right, everybody agrees.
Well, it was rhetorical, like meaning once, other than leveling gear to be 305, which you need all those drops to continue to keep happening. There's a lot of gear.
Yeah.
But that's one great easy way to get infusion material. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like you're
infusion
just, there's
material
no.
Infusion material isn't the reward.
Yeah.
Well, but that is the only thing right now. And I agree, you probably could use something else. Like those four adventures, like that does drop every
week. A planet specific, weapon that you would normally buy randomly from Failsafe or whoever. That would be kind of.
Yeah,
like
an RNG
gear.
What if it's just a cool RNG? Maybe it's even awesome shader.
I guess you kind of get that. I don't know. I just feel like they're a little waning.
I don't even think they – I agree with you. I don't think that they have – I don't think that the rewards have to be physical rewards like loot and stuff. Like my idea to improve Lost Sectors and Adventures is to link them into the story. Because like the adventures and stuff, you get really kind of cool little story beats that help flesh out the narrative a little bit. What if when you completed all the Lost Sectors on a planet for that week, it unlocked a new quest on that map that was a little bit more like two or three steps that told the story?
Cool.
That way I'm like, oh, well, I want to know what the quest is because I want to know more about the story and the characters, so I got to go do all the Lost Sectors. That way you're getting the benefit of doing the Lost Sectors, killing the guys, getting the gear.
All the Lost Sectors, but you're also then you get more... one really hard Lost Sector or something because they're pretty easy. You just run and kill them and that's it.
How does that solve it though? Because Lost Sectors were fun the first time you did it, meaning once you unlock this, aren't you up against the same problem?
No, but just like
there's a reward at the end of completing all of them.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you complete all of them, it unlocks a new quest that they could change from week to week.
Different one every week.
I'm talking
about
a blue icon quest, like a proper quest.
Brand new quest. And
And maybe it drops an exotic on
four planets.
Yeah. That's
great. At least like, one. They should add another fourth subclass.
I'm just saying, World of Warcraft did
weapons?
This. Like,
no!
You want to encourage people to be in the open world. Like, give them something interesting and meaningful to do on the week to
unlock ship combat at the end. Why didn't they do that? I don't understand.
This is a
ship
mechanic.
Combat doesn't exist in the game.
The quest line quests is a system that they have in the game that seems like it would be fairly easy.
I know.
And it was underutilized. Like, the Taken King had way more robust questing in the Taken King. And in Destiny 2, the quests are awesome, but there's only like three or four of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like the quests. I just meant eventually you run into the problem where you've done all the quests. So like, what do you do to continue?
New quests.
Exactly.
They're not that hard. Like quests afford the dev team the opportunity to explore the narrative even more creative ways. Like I said,
elaborate
this about strikes. Yeah. Like, there should be
I don't
a new
know why
strike.
They didn't think of it. That's all I'm saying.
There should be a new strike every month.
Yeah, but here's what
one
I will
month
say.
Would be cool.
Here's what they are doing good. Stop
every
it.
Day.
Stop it. They,
friend,
they're doing.
You are.
I'm stop it.
I'm.
They're doing
you.
Really
all
good though at making
good.
Something new every week. And I think for the most part, like a new Nightfall modifier, a new this, a new that. They've done what they wanted to achieve. I think that they didn't do in Destiny 1. They're slowly rolling out all these new little things that are kind of neat.
I'm talking about new.
I agree.
I get what you're saying.
More. I agree. I actually think that maybe is a conversation for later. Like,
you're
is
right,
there
enough? Nothing's wrong with the game. It's perfect.
I didn't say
10
that.
Out of 10.
I didn't say that at all. I'm totally trolling you guys. But I agree it could use some more content, actually, and that's it is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, like, our big hope before Destiny 2 was that they onboarded these two new studios to help them, and the idea was that they'd be able to continuously pump out content, right? Mm. And we just haven't seen that exactly yet.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so the last little bit of the show, we want to give CJ a chance to talk about his raid experience.
Wait, sorry, just double check. Don't you need a single shot on that first?
Go back to the wide.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was single.
We
on
were
the
in
either.
The wide, right?
Yeah, so you need a single to get out of it.
We didn't talk about PvP or trials yet, real quick. Can
we
talk
about
PvP?
Well, really quick, you mentioned one thing that was an issue, but can we talk just about PvP and trials for 2 seconds, what it is this week, and then we'll move on to the right thing.
All right, so CJ, you wanted to talk about trials and how... Where'd survival go?
What happened? It's gone. I did hear Stev Ryu. He's one of these great guys who's been helping us out in the raids and a bunch of behind the scenes stuff at IGN. He's all right. anyways, he was saying that it actually was supposed to be survival, and he launched into one
once you
today.
Tweeted out.
Yeah, it actually was not good. And there was some kind of glitch, I guess, where people were hiding or
you could literally just
could not
hide
kill
outside
people.
The map.
Yeah, that's no good. So we were wondering if these were going to be issues that would, creep to the surface with survival. And thinking about them, it could be a long game either way.
Mm-hmm. It is good.
You know?
Yeah, but like, if it's a long game because people are avoiding fighting each other, but they're staying together,
but that's the new Destiny meta in a way right now. It's long range. Mm-hmm. It's less, you know, a little bit more defensive tactics.
Grant, those games are going to be long.
Yeah, I was just going to explain what happened. So, you know, when they launched it, they're like, Trials of Nine is live, Altar of Flame, and it's survival. Mm-hmm. And then a couple hours after that, due to a bug where players can escape the environment on Altar of Flame, we've changed this week's Trials to Countdown to Eternity. So they rolled back the last week.
Yeah. So I wonder if you just jump outside the map and die and don't respawn.
It sounds like you jump outside the map and the whole like go back and hide. Forward 3 doesn't work.
No, it makes you respawn. You don't get the option of not responding in survival. The timer just like brings you back up.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but if you jump outside the map or just play very kind of, you know, cheesy and defensively, you could literally probably have every single map being
That's what we were worried about. Game type is super long.
We didn't get to play it. I'm actually more concerned that we don't have this chance to test survival this week. It sets us back a week when you think about it. Honestly, their whole schedule, I assume, was like countdown survival, maps, and now it all like
they potentially had survival twice in a row, actually.
Oh, it was on that roadmap. Yeah. But we don't have feedback on survival any good for trials.
Yeah, feedback right now is no.
Yeah.
Well, potentially. It was so bad
that they just pulled it. So we'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully we get to try it next week without any bugs.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's actually a good match.
What if they launch Trials Classic?
Oh, yeah. Elimination. I already said this. Like it could maybe be in the future. We jokingly said, like, where is it?
We don't know what the roadmap is for next month yet. We know Heroic Raid and Iron Banner is next month.
Yep.
But that's it.
This map for Trials, I will say, though, Countdown is definitely – it's very Trials-esque, I will say. And I liked this new map. So, Fran, you and I were talking again, you know, Might of the Nine. It is basically the new meta right now. I will say, as a guy who's been a hand cannon fan all these years, I like Mida.
Gotta talk about this, CJ. It just works real good. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I know Fran wants to get into it. Mida's
great.
Real quick.
Okay.
That's
here's
all Fran wants to
do it. Fran wants just to say it.
Little quick interject. I love Mida.
I don't know why people are complaining. Everything's great.
and I'm not talking about overall PvP. Enjoy Mida. Get good, right? That's the result. Like, just Mida's out there. Use it. Everybody has access. Yeah. What I didn't like about Trials, they launched the first week and now back second week, same thing. What makes Trials come back to it special, they changed everything. Aim down sights when your radar reappears. Everybody gets radar. It's easy to get Mida. So everybody is using radar in this mode. And so every loadout, I think primarily you get radar all the time. And then it's just an amazing scout for this long laying map.
There are other scouts out there that are better weapons to use.
Totally. But my point was we didn't have a chance.
Is a strong word.
What bothers me is not Mida, but I hated that Third Eye became like everybody can have it, not just hunters or whatever. And I really just didn't like that we didn't get a chance to see what weapons could rise above and what players would do with them. Everybody just used Mida because why wouldn't
it? It's Mida Urials. That's
what
bothers me.
And that's fair. I think for the most part, for me, like, I'm still upset that hand cannons are basically trash in PvP.
But what about that one you like?
I'm
not really. Better Devils, old fashioned. There's the only two hand
annual skate is solid, and so is Judgment from
for PvP.
Trials.
If you use a basically what happened in PvP now is the mid range game has disappeared.
It's
a long range game. It's turned into ARs, scouts, and pulses. So everything is basically trash until you get super close, which is like submachine gun and sidearms.
Who's
like
using last pulses hope. Out there? I see I some nightshades, but that's
yeah,
it.
But that's what I mean. But it's a distance game. So when you're trying to like recover and go back and forth, Mida is awesome for the speed and all the things you're saying, but it's basically like that's the meta right now. So I'm not too upset because I trained my mind from Destiny 1 like, oh, you nerf fusions.
Yeah, Thorn, whatever, you know.
It's just how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. This is Mida right now. I'm sure something will come over the next like 2 months.
That's what everyone tries. That's the joke.
That new scout from Dead Orbit.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's joking about how like inevitably in Mida is going to get nerfed like soon.
Yeah, or something will be buffed. I think they'll bring up a hand cannon's auto aim a little bit or aim assist as well as their range.
They're going to tweak all the numbers and we're going to get a new meta.
So I had one small gameplay design request. For Trials, which was you did locked loadouts, which is pretty cool.
Really good. I love
pretty
that.
Pretty cool. But can you add in a modifier? Cannot be this weapon. That would be cool.
No
way. No.
Oh, yeah.
People do that
in competitive, but again, I know what you're saying. You want to remove the exotic or you want to remove certain things from
certain
being
maps
cheap.
And things, like keep people from overusing.
No. Yeah, Give them.
Everyone has to use sidearms for the whole game.
Not that stupid.
That's
it.
Option. Sidearms fusion. That's all you're allowed to use.
Hand cannons.
Destiny's like the whole fantasy of Destiny is I can use whatever weapon I want.
I just hate that it's all Mida Third Eye. Everybody's got radar.
I mean, so I don't.
There are players.
No, but it is.
this.
A lot of it's Mida, but it's a range game.
35% of all the kills in Trials were Mida.
Yeah.
See,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mida more. Everybody's talking about that, but I think it's just the player base getting used to the new weapon set. And right now it's Mida because it's something we're familiar with that we use often. But I would play PvP right before this show and was getting wrecked by Last Rite, I think it was. Mm. So there's other loadouts out there that can do well against
across all of PvP for sure. Yeah, yeah, I just felt like with Trials in that map,
yeah, that map
in particular, everybody.
Yeah, it's a range map.
That's why I think the perception on Mida is a little skewed just because that gun happens to be the perfect gun for that map.
Yeah.
Like, I think on smaller maps, it won't be as effective. Yeah.
And as a guy who's never played Scouts in Destiny 1 at all, I'm on a 15-0 run. I'm going to just keep using Mida right now in Trials.
It is definitely a Scout game.
It did get to the point where anytime we do not – I do like how they do, like, team intros at the beginning of every Trials match.
Really good.
And it shows you the opponent's loadout, another great thing, because before it was like you're jumping into the rosters.
They're faking people out, changing weapons at the last
second. Switching weapons and stuff. But now you can see, and anytime someone wasn't running Mida, we'd be like, what an idiot.
Exactly.
That's funny. I did want to give you a chance, CJ. You also wanted to talk about your raid experience and Fran did because you guys weren't here last week.
A little bit.
So.
Go ahead, Fran. I'll let you chat first.
Right. No, I actually didn't have much to say, just to say my piece because I didn't get the chance.
You didn't beat it the first day, right?
Oh, no. We beat it the first day.
Oh, okay.
Before you. So
no. I was before
that
you.
Wrote clear.
The fun thing is we got the same bug.
We both got the same bug. It was a problem.
Yeah.
You can go back in the
rewind.
We did. It was super close. We were basically the same time zone, buddy.
I beat it, and then chat's like, Fran's still on it. Oh, wait, he just beat it, too.
Okay, whatever the case. I knew
this was a thing.
Before
Fran.
He beat it before us.
Hey, guys, by the way, I have 3 hours ahead of each of you guys.
It took us 11 to 12 hours, so it just took a long time. But anyway, it's a really, like, expansive, beautiful raid. I really you can just see how much effort went into it. Mm-hmm. The dogs were not great for us. I appreciate what they were trying to do. It was not a favorite.
Fairly quick.
Yeah, again,
We figured out dogs pretty quick.
But that's the thing. A raid is very much like that. You either see the monitors or you don't, or you see how the dogs work, you don't. And just like it.
Is that a Wrath of the Machine reference?
Yeah. It wasn't quite intuitive for us, but also you have teams arguing with each other and that happens.
I imagine you so focused on, we have to shoot the flower.
No,
it's definitely the flower.
No.
That's the part that took us the longest time.
Yeah. Anyway, to finish though, I really like the raid a lot. I mean, when I went down to the engine room, I was like, holy cow, like so cool. All these hallways. And then I realized that there are exit doors.
Yeah.
So I really like the raid. I feel like there's a lot to do, a lot of meat. It has some bugs and things to iron out for sure.
Yeah, the dogs are a little glitchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know what to do with dogs either. So I did land. I found out from Steph. He gave me some info. 63rd, actually. So we beat it in about 7.5 hours. We even took a little bit of a break. It was a bit demoralizing. Somebody tweeted it out when we were at the last phase.
Oh, yeah.
World's first been achieved. Like,
yeah, probably Bungie.
I can't remember. Somebody was saying, like, you know, oh, Bungie's tweeting it out when we were looking at Twitter and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I had your guys' streams in the background just to see where you guys were. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's cheating. I see.
No, because we were ahead of you guys every time up until about the dogs.
The dogs. We were actually there really fast.
You were there first. But then after that, once we got to the end, our team was really good. I called them the Type B team because there was no arguing. It was very just calm and methodical and precision-like. Obviously, I play with Stev all the time. It was Mountain, Arc, 3, and Lifted Headshot. So shout out to those guys. 63 is actually not too bad.
Top 100 is awesome.
Yeah, top 100.
That's what I was hoping for.
Totally random team that I never play with. So it was me, Dubfest, Silver Moose, Duggan. Oh my God, I don't remember that.
But it was
Well, then I jumped.
That's your problem.
I jumped in. Oh, Dub. Yeah. I jumped in at the very end.
It was
end.
Dub Sash's roommate.
Yeah, because I was like, I was about to go home and I was watching you guys. Like,
and Stan.
Hey guys, we need a little help with the final boss. I'm like, dear God, I've been in this booth for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
But
we
the raid.
Like at the 12 hour mark.
Yeah. The raid was really good. And I will say, Sean, you made a quote last FTC. You said, worse than Crota. Whoa!
What the raid?
What are you talking about?
I don't like
it. I love
that much. Okay, wait, hold on. Let me
Hang on.
I just want to take back what I just said.
Okay.
I do like it, but I think it's not as good as the other raids.
Okay. I will say this. Worse than Crota is a pretty, you're basically ranking it last. And from that standpoint,
you're also saying Crota's bad.
Yeah, and Crota was a good raid.
No, all the raids are good. this is just the least good.
Okay. So to me, I like the fact that this was so team oriented. It was, you know, the fact that once you got into that last encounter and you figured out that there was something different on everybody's screen, to me, that's genius. The fact that that actually happened. No, because genius. It is. You have an instance of the same thing on everybody's screen, but there's a piece that's different.
No, I really
that's
like
never
that.
Been done before. And something like that,
never
I thought
been done.
We were arguing.
Well, no, not in Destiny. Yeah, no, but I mean, it was something that came out of the raid that I was not expecting. A lot of them are mechanics based and like, hey, what's
it's
happening?
A subtle, nice thing.
No, I agree.
I
like
it. What? I thought it was really neat.
I thought it was really
I'm
good.
I'm on your side. I think it's really cool.
That's
still
a, that the
too mechanics
different?
Oriented.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Man. No.
I thought you were talking about the fact that it rotates.
No, the symbol on his head.
No, the symbol.
And everyone's seeing a different
raid
symbol.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Yes, I do like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that it does rotate now into different orders, also a very neat mechanic of the raid. So as far as I'm concerned, I think Vault, number one, because of the experience that you had. This raid, like, is second for me. Second or third next to King's Fall. Crota, I like just because it's a special spot. Wrath, I didn't get into very much because it was late in Destiny 1.
Like
Where's
so.
This fight team good. Chat feature? Ranking the raid.
I have not played enough of Leviathan.
How many are there?
Not even
three,
close.
Four?
Yeah. It's five.
Well, five, right?
Five total.
Yeah. Five total.
The top five raids in Destiny.
Yeah. Yep. Just all the raids.
But I really did enjoy it. The fact that there was so much teamwork and the fact that there was a lot of communication. I mean, I think the comment that I've heard is this is kind of maybe a difficult raid for guided games. It's very heavily communication.
Yeah.
But it was
if it's
good.
One person, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Once you get there and people level up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. But it was good.
That's why I said on last show.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Worse
all
than
right.
Crota.
That's everything I had to bring up today. Any final points before we head out, guys?
I still want Bungie to adjust PvP, like, a lot. Like, I think they need to iterate on it. And not just in terms of, like, the disconnects and stuff, but, like, man, there's no different. They call it the competitive playlist. There's nothing competitive about it. What is competitive about it? You can't see deaths, kills, like, KDA.
I want a real competitive, like
with rankings and awesome. Stuff.
Yeah. Leaderboards, ranked MMR. That would be awesome for me.
I want more incentivization to just do the stuff that they have available, like strikes. Once you've done everything, it's like, well, why am I going back in there? You know, like I've done all that. And like once you're in one, like I hit 305 and I'm like, well, I have all these tokens. I'm just not going to use. Like, why?
Well, exactly.
What do I need? I feel like I have everything.
So like the end game of Destiny hasn't really changed.
You have a collections page, but it doesn't tell you like all the different collections because there's like a collection for all the world leaders, like for Failsafe and and the guy on EDZ. And, like, it would be great if I could actually see that somewhere and be like, oh, I still need that exotic. There's the thing to chase, you know. And how do I get it?
Yeah.
How do I get a shader that I want, you know?
Yeah.
Just communicate a little bit more with the player base in the game. That's what I would like to see more of.
On a whole, though, really liking Destiny 2. I know what you're saying about PvP. It's a different game, but I think some of that is just adjusting to it. Again, this is from a guy who's got 10,000 fusion and hand cannon kills. I've never used a scout rifle, and it's like, this is the new Destiny 2.
You'll note that none of my Destiny 2 PvP complaints have anything to do with the gameplay. Like, I think it plays so well.
Yeah.
It's just like, as someone who loves great gameplay, I want to see how that gameplay is adjusting or like over time. Like, I want to see if I'm improving, if I played worse this week or worse this month, or if I'm better on this map or that map.
In the game.
Like, what my kill to death ratio is with scout rifles versus with auto rifles. Like, I want all of those stats. And guess what? Like, every other competitive first person shooter has that in the game.
Yeah.
Destiny does not.
What about you, Fran?
I'm done commenting on the gameplay and stuff. I was going to say, I would love to see in the comments this week, because it's a question that's coming up a ton. What is, like, the best sniper? What's the best sword?
Borealis.
Now, PvP, PvE. So without getting into it,
is really good.
What came up was I was kind of poking around, and people were talking about this Achin LR2. It's got ambush.
You have a
and
blue
shot.
Sniper.
It's a blue sniper that's like a meta thing.
Yeah.
But people were like, wait, what? It's actually quite good. But anyway, in the comments, if you have sort of a consensus on this is totally the best sword, let's get in the comments, talk about that. I'd love to see what people are using, and I think it'd just be really helpful for people.
Yeah, definitely. Get ready for a lot of meta comments.
Pretty much. Exactly.
All right, guys. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for watching. But until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.